The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
On this Monday, I begin the five-part series on the body. Mindfulness of the body is a core aspect of the Buddha's teachings. He repeats it often and with great enthusiasm, talking about how all kinds of wonderful qualities, tranquility, concentration, peace, whatever is wholesome, skillful, the different stages towards liberation, liberation itself is all founded or based on or experienced with the body, through mindfulness, to be more specific, through mindfulness of the body. In my years of Buddhist practice, practicing in this country, in Zen, and Japan, and in Asia, what struck me was how much the body was used in the practice. Certainly, the meditation is meant to be a physically embodied practice. But also in the monasteries, there's a lot of physical work and activities and chanting and bowing and ritual that involve using the body. And what gets awakened in the body through the kind of practice activities we're involved in was probably as important as meditation for me. And it wasn't that I was not given instructions or told that this attention to the body, the engagement of the body was important. But it kind of slowly kind of seeped into me and changed me from the inside out. To give one example, in the monastery we did a lot of bowing and most often kind of standing bow, like even as simple as if we pass someone in the path as we were walking around the monastery, we were supposed to stop for a moment and bow to them as we passed them. Or people served us food, we always had to bow before and after being served. If we came into the meditation hall, we'd always bow coming into the meditation hall. And it just, you know, over and over again, you know, lots and lots of bowing throughout the day. And do that for months and years, something changes. This gesture of putting the hands together in front of the chest and bending forward a little bit is not just a physical gesture. It evokes certain kind of emotions, certain attitudes within. And for me, it was attitude of appreciation, certain kind of attitude of letting go of self-centeredness, a certain kind of feeling of reverence and respect. And as I it wasn't dramatic that I would feel that, but there would be teeny feelings of that, sometimes unrecognized even because I was busy doing my life, doing my things. But slowly, drip by drip, drop by drop, those little gestures established those feelings in me in a deeper way and valuable way for my life. And so there was a transformation in the body of sentiment, of attitude, of feelings, of sensations that I became familiar with. And then multiply that to all the different things we did in practice. A whole bunch of things would come up, would change in the body. Meditation was especially so. And the way that I experienced my body surprisingly changed dramatically in the course of the years of meditation practice that I had. Sometimes they would change within a single meditation practice session. Sometimes certain ways it changed over years and years of practice. So much so that I came to appreciate that we have different bodies. And what I mean by that is not that, you know, the way we experience our body, the body that we experience, shifts and changes depending on the states of mind we have. How the mind is used, the attitudes, the thoughts, the perceptions, the intentions, all kinds of things come together to shape how we experience our body. And it isn't that we have the material body changes in and of itself. that, you know, doesn't change particularly, except, you know, in ordinary ways we all know, exercise or lack of it, aging. But the way that body is experienced is very much conditioned by what is going on in the mind. And with the kind of the very significant ways in which the mind begins to shift and change in meditation, thereby the way we experience the body changes as well. And so this week I'd like to talk about five different bodies that we can experience. Don't take this to be ontological, like this is like a real, you know, like different bodies physically. The material body doesn't change, but what we're talking about is the experienced body, how it's experienced. And so I want to talk about today a little bit about the karmic body, about tomorrow about the bliss body, the peace body, the insight body, and the liberation body. So each of those are kind of represents different ways that the body can be experienced. And the karmic body is the body that we have shaped through the activities of our lifetime. And especially those which are volitional, those that come from the deliberateness of the mind, as opposed to, you know, if you have a particular profession that, you know, that, you know, you use your body over and over and over again in certain ways, it shapes the body. And maybe we can consider it karmic, but it doesn't come from necessarily from the attitudes of the mind that exists there. Or people's faces are a little bit different because of the languages they speak. Different languages engage over a lifetime, different muscles and teeny micro muscles in the face. And so there's a subtle differences in people's faces depending on the languages they speak. So those aren't necessarily karmic. They're just, you know, I don't know what to call that. But the karmic has to do with our attitudes. It involves the tensions that we hold, the holding patterns in our body. When there is anxiety and fear, we hold our body a certain way. And if that fear is chronic, that tension gets built in and becomes almost hardwired into us. If we spend a lot of time being angry and the anger is chronic, that affects also the micro muscles of the face around the eyes and the shoulders and different places. If there is, if we're oriented more for desires, the desires searching and looking, the eyes, the face, the movements of the body, are kind of shift and change are expressive of that desire, those desires. If it's more anger that we express, the body kind of takes a different stance, different posture. The confidence, generosity, love are all different things which shift and change all kinds of things in our body, not just the muscles, but also the chemicals of our body and how the neurons fire in our body. And so when we sit down to meditate, for many people, what we're encountering is our karmic body. And we can experience initially for a lot of the tensions we hold in our body, in the shoulders, the face, the belly, anywhere at all, the hand. And I discovered when I was early years of meditation that I carried tension in my thighs. And that tension in my thighs traveled up and affected my lower back. And so the tension was a little bit bracing myself against something going to happen. I've known people who have a tremendous feeling of wanting to bolt out of meditation. And so the feeling of kind of escaping, running away, that might be encased in some bodies, it shapes the experience we have of this body of ours. And so sometimes some of the pain we experience in meditation, in the early stages of meditation practice, is karmic pain. Most very common places experience that in the shoulders. Shoulders that are held high, like mine were when I was younger. as they begin to release, they begin hurting. It could be that there's a certain kind of despair or something that we're experiencing, so we're collapsing, kind of giving up. And that certainly affects the musculature and the feelings in the chest, but it also may have a big impact on the upper back. And as we sit in meditation, we might feel the legacy of, you know, long time sitting a certain way, and some muscles are tired, some have contracted, and then working with that is working with a karmic body. And so knowing that's what it is hopefully gives us a lot of patience, a lot of compassion, and a lot of understanding that that's often what we're working with when we first start meditating. The karmic body, the karmic breathing, how breathing has been affected by our emotions, our attitudes, our experiences, our traumas, our challenges we've had in our life. And this is what we're slowly working with and relaxing and breathing with. Some of the relaxation we can contribute to, and some of it, we don't want to make it too big of a project to relax all the time, but some of it, it just comes with sitting quietly and meditating and letting go of thoughts and being present in a sincere way here and now. It gives the body a chance to unwind. It gives the things to release, to soften. And slowly, it's wonderful to watch meditators over, you know, a few years, and to see the slow evolution into what's sometimes called the yogic body, a body of a meditator. You can see in their, how they sit down, and there's a comfort level, there's an ease, there's an embodiment there that has evolved over time. And as the karmic body begins to recede, at least temporarily, sometimes as we get concentrated, the karmic body recedes and other kind of experiences of the body enter into the foreground. But then as the concentration leaves, the karmic body returns, and we get back in touch with the tensions and holding patterns we have. And that massage is part of the process of healing, of opening up and coming to some resolution of the karmic body. So as you go about your day today, you might see if you can notice what I'm calling the karmic body. Notice the holding patterns you have that both in the muscles, but also in your posture. How's your posture affected by your attitude, by your desires and your aversions, by your confidence or lack of confidence? Where are things tight? Where are things holding? And maybe even some of the physical pains you have that really come from physical conditions. Sometimes a small percentage of them might be from activities we've done. The activities have expressed as karmic. Our activities we've done as expressed anger, impatience, being in a hurry, desire, greed, resistance, all kinds of things. And then because we were that way, maybe something got injured, and now we have to live with the after effect of this part of this karmic body we have to work with. We're not stuck in the karmic body. This is what practice is about, to some degree, find freedom from that karma. And that we'll talk about for the next few days. So, thank you.